Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me.
Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your presence right now. We give you praise.
honor, and glory. We thank you, Lord God, for your anointing, your presence, your Lord. Fill us, Lord God, even at this moment in time as we come before you tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for your breakthrough anointing tonight, even as we put a demand on the anointing. We thank you for breaking us out. And we thank you, Lord God, for a new beginning, a new start, a change, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for even your hand that is upon us. Lord, do a new thing before us and in us in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, as we depend on you, Lord God. We thank you for the newness of life that shall come forth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, for impacting our lives, Lord God, that will cause us to bring change and even to do differently. And we thank you, Lord God, for your word that's ever increasing inside of us, Lord God, that will bring us to a new place in you. And we thank you for the impact, Lord God, of your love that never runs dry. And we thank you, Lord God, for just even as you do exactly what you do. Our heart is totally dependent on you, Lord God, and we thank you that no one can do us like you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your presence tonight. Lord, I surrender myself unto you as a vessel willing to bring forth your word tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for doing each and everything that you desire to do. Prepare not only my heart to release, Lord God, but also, even as you receive, Lord God, the praise, honor, and glory that's due unto you. Thank you for the change, and as you release the change in our lives, all of us are affected by your word and infected by your word. Do what you desire to do. Build what you desire to build. Bring forth what you desire to bring forth in Jesus' name. So, Lord God, we thank you as we lean in, depending on you, Lord God, that you are God, and besides you, there's no other. We thank you, Lord God, for change tonight in Jesus' name, for the hearers to receive in Jesus' name, the impact of your love, your glory in Jesus' name. Change the story, Lord God. Cause them to stand and be who you called them to be in Jesus' name, Lord God. Help them, Lord God, to stand against all the odds, stand against all the attacks and attempts of the enemy to bring them down. Let them stand up and be strong and be firm, Lord God, even to stand up to be counted in Jesus' name. So, Lord God, we thank you right now. In the name of Jesus, our trust is in you, Lord God. You said, as we trust you with all our heart, lean not to our own understanding, acknowledging all of us, you shall direct our path. We thank you as we are leaning on you, Lord God, that you shall perform, you shall do, and you shall bring forth and bring out in Jesus' mighty name. So, Lord God, we thank you tonight for your word, and we thank you in advance for what you're about to do. Touch your heart. We bind up every contrary spirit, every attempt of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. They may try to come bring about any fear, doubt, unbelief. We cast down every imagination that's not like you. We take authority by the authority of Christ. And Lord, we thank you as we stand in the place, as we stand in your presence tonight, stand before you. We thank you for you getting all the honor and the glory in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for showing yourself strong in the earth and through us, Lord God, as your vessels. Prepare for the master's use. So we surrender now. And we give you all the praise, all the honor and glory. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Amen. Welcome to the Eagles of Flight Hour. I'm Apostle Marcus Dupree with Prophet Celine Dupree. We thank God for each and every one of you, and thank God for just joining us tonight. As we come forth tonight, amen, we are coming in the spirit of expectation, coming expecting God to do exactly what he desired to do tonight. And we just ask you to prepare yourself as you get ready to go forth into the word. And we ask you to return with us to Matthew chapter 15. Let me go look at that. And we're going to start there. Then came, verse 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curse father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, or his mother, it is a gift. But whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honored not his father and mother, or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, the people draw nigh unto me with thy mouth and honor me with thy lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. So, amen. We're going to stop there. But as we tonight, we're going to talk about let the rebels arise. Let the rebels arise. Amen. And normally when we talk about the word rebel, most of the time we're talking about people who are rebelling against the word of God, morals of God, standards of God. But in this here tonight, we're talking about those who are rebelling against the things of the world. We're turning it around tonight. We're looking at it from a different standpoint. See, it's time now for the rebels, the true rebels of God, to arise. When we talk about being rebels of God, we're talking about those who rebel against the teachings of the world or the traditions of the world and those things that the world may try to do. Because, see, you got to remember, the things of the world, when we're talking about the two world systems, when we're talking about a system of the kingdom that's in operation. A system that's operation for the God. When we talk about the kingdom, that's for God and his God's people. Okay, the way the kingdom of God is God's ways and methods of operation and doing things. When we talk about the world, we're talking about the world standard, and the world standard is of course the way the world want to do it. We make our own rules. We live by our own laws. We do what feels good. See, the world, okay, let me bring it down to you a little more specific. When we talk about the kingdom is God's ways and methods according to his spirit, by the way he do things. So this is the way we're talking about living by the kingdom way. We're talking about living way according to the kingdom of God, the spirit of God. And we're talking about the world. We're talking about a world that touch, feel, smell, is all about what the world. It's all about what the world want to do according to what feels good to them. So when we're talking about what feels good to them, we're talking about what feels good to them is not always the best thing when it comes to God. Because when the world does what it feels, when it feels like doing, it's according to what makes them feel good at the moment. It's not a thing of if it's right or wrong. Because, for instance, when we talk about the Word of God, let's see, it may be uncomfortable to say no when everyone else is saying yes. Well, according to the Word of God, let's look at Romans chapter 12 for an example of what we're talking about. When we're talking about Romans 12 and 1, that has to be exact. 1 second. Let's see, Romans 12, okay. Okay, Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world. So that lets us know that the world is contrary to what the kingdom of God is saying, what the kingdom of God is doing. How, you know, so it's going to be, so because it's contrary to that, that lets us know when it comes to the kingdom of God, we have to embrace the kingdom in order for us to really please God. Okay, so we're talking about conforming. We have to make sure that we're conforming to the right system, the right way of living. If we're not conforming to the way of God, the way of God, which is the word through the word of God, by the kingdom of God, we're conforming to the world. It's either conforming to God or conforming to the world. It's one of the two. We cannot serve two masters. So if we're talking about conforming to the things of the world, that means we're actually putting ourselves in position to be an enemy of God. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. I mean, for those who need to have, who may have a question, comment, or prayer request, you can press 1 and sorry, 347-945-5416 and press 1 to get in the queue box to ask your question. Amen. And so when you look at Romans chapter 8, we're going to kind of move through this here. Verse 1, there's therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, Jesus died so we can be to free us from the ways of the world. When we were born into sin. Because we're born into sin, we're born into the world system. And so the kingdom, Christ through Christ Jesus, the kingdom has come to deliver us out of the system into the kingdom. So since we're delivered out of the system of the world, now we're into the kingdom. Now we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Now we're walking in, now we're in position to walk in the kingdom. Now, just because we're positioned to walk in the kingdom does not mean that we're walking in kingdom. See, you could take someone out of the kingdom, I mean taking someone out of the world, but they still operate according to the world when it comes to actually walking out execution of life. Okay, you can say now someone give their life to the Lord, but then they still panic like the world. They still do like the world. They still have ways of the world. When we talk about walking in the kingdom, we're talking about living a life by faith and not by sight. When we're talking about executing the kingdom is opposite of what the world says. When the world may say, this is time to hold on to your money, don't spend. Well, the kingdom of God, we could say, go forth, spend. Well, not necessarily spend, but there's a time to where he will spend and say, you know what, buy this, purchase that. You may be purchasing the land at a time where the world system may say, you got to hold on to everything. See, the kingdom will put you in position to either believe and receive or reject and walk away. Because there's no way you can please the world and please God at the same time. There's no way you can do that. So God said he didn't come with the sword, not to join together, but he come to separate. He come to make plain exactly where are you standing. He come to separate mother and daughter, father from son. He come to make it plain to draw the axe in the middle, put the liner in the middle, and make a choice. See, we have to make a choice and understand where we stand in this whole equation. So when we talk about walking out and executing with the kingdom, let's go to verse 3. For the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So in order for Jesus to defeat the flesh or defeat the world system, he had to come in the way which we were in, or which we are in the flesh, and walk in the system. He had to be able to be among us who are in the system and be able to walk just like everyone else. He had to be able to do like everyone else. He had to make a choice like everyone else. See, even he was not exempt from making choices. Okay, all right, verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. See, the law was what the people wanted it to be governed by. And see, God allowed, he gave the Ten Commandments, he gave the law, all that, knowing it was really defeated because we could not walk out those commandments on our own because we would have a nature of sin, a sinful nature. So we could not do that with that sinful nature because because of the will being weak to sin, we couldn't really, it was hard for us to walk that way and really stick to it. Now, there were men and women of God who chose, God chose to do right, who was upright and just, but at the same time, they still had the nature, that sinful nature. They weren't completely set free, of course. They weren't totally free from that to where they could actually live in that way completely. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. This is where we kind of see where things are going to be becoming clear. As we choose to live for God, we're actually saying we're choosing to follow the Spirit and overtake and forsake the flesh. When we choose to pray instead of doing what feels good, that means we're choosing God, the will of God, or the flesh. We choose to live by the Spirit rather than the flesh. Verse 5 says, we do, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. See, when we are still connected to the flesh and we still have a desire to do according to the flesh, we're going to look after those things according to the flesh, and we're going to do what's pleasing to the flesh. And this is why we have to, as we look at the whole big scheme picture of things, we look at our life living. We look at how we live daily on a daily basis. Which realm do we operate more in? What are we most sensitive to? You know, even though we're in the flesh, you know, we're in the flesh, but at the same time, who do we conform? What side do we conform to? Do we conform to the side of the Spirit, where the Spirit, where God is speaking through our spirit, trying to lead us in our everyday walk? Or do we do what feels good, even though we know it's not right, but do we do what feels good according to the flesh and let the flesh dominate us? This is why in 2017 we have to come to the real point of making a solid decision. Which side are we going to operate on? Which side are we going to live on? Are we going to live and flow by the Spirit, or are we going to live according to the flesh? See, there's no middle ground, but we have to make a choice. And in order for us to really see the presence of God in action, to see the manifestation of God, we have to do according to the Word of God. Okay, for we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So as we walk after the Spirit, now we're putting the demand on the Spirit to follow the Spirit and to move according to the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. In the Bible, the word death is a twofold meaning. It means separation and, of course, end of life. So we have to choose, because if we choose to live by our flesh, it's going to lead us to a way of separation. It's going to lead us in a way of death. It's going to lead us to end. When we have people trying to do things in life to when people do things in life to please their flesh, for instance, when we look at Adam and Eve, Eve saw that the fruit was good to eat. She saw that it was good to eat. So here she, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Whenever we cater to those three areas, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, in this situation here, she saw the lust of the flesh. She was, you know, she was hungry, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Then because she saw it was good to eat, and the pride of life, even though God said don't eat, she chose to eat. So see, she felt like she, you know, it's almost like she overrided the word of God, overrided his commandment to do what she wanted to do as if she was her own God. And see, so, and he told, and of course, Satan said, if you eat, it'll make you as a God, as God, like one of them, as the one who told you. So, you know, he tried to make it seem like God was trying to hold her back from getting knowledge. But really, they were already like God because they already had the mind of God. So what he offered them, they already had. But because of disobedience, they transgressed or they went against what God, the natural, what he desired to happen. So because he told them not to do it, they did it anyhow because being fooled. And when I say they, because Adam was not in the woods going hunting. He was right there alone because the Bible said that he gave to her and he ate too. So he wasn't far away too. He didn't know what was going on. But the fact of the matter is that he did not step up in his authority fix the situation or prevent the situation from happening. But he allowed himself just to stay there and watch and let the whole humanity go. So, you know, in our daily decisions, sometimes we can end up doing the same thing in different kind of ways. If we don't step up in our authority and do what's right, well, we sit there and settle and let and go for it and go do what's wrong. If we don't step up in our authority and realize that our choice and decisions will not only impact us, but it affect others as well, for those who are connected. Amen. Okay, so once again, if anyone is out to call and have a question or comment, need prayer, the number is 347-945-5416. You press 1 to get in the queue box. Amen, as we continue in. Amen. So we see here, verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death. If we continue in doing what feels good to the flesh, if we continue to seek after what feels good or what we want to do versus what God is leading us to do, he said, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The reward of walking in obedience is life, and we will have peace. So if we walk in life and peace, that means we're doing according to what the Word is saying and according to the will of God. When we do according to the flesh, we're going the opposite of that, which way is going to end in death and separation from God. So once again, so let the rebels arise, not to rebel against the Word of God, but rebel against the world system, the traditions of men. The traditions of men are different from the Word of God. When we talk about the traditions of men, so here we saw the situation where Jesus was, they were asking, the Pharisees was asking Jesus, well, why do your men go against the traditions of the elders by not washing their hands? Okay, they're so concerned about having clean hands, but Jesus is more like, what about your unclean heart? What about those other areas of our life, those things, those areas that we can't see according to the flesh? See, you're looking at what you can see according to my hands, you know, as far as me eating. But what about you? What about your heart, which people can't see, but is wicked, evil? All manner of stuff that you think I'm doing, and this is every day. But yet, you're so concerned about my flesh, my hand, me washing my hand. See, those are the things that separate the spirit and the flesh. The flesh wants to do what I want to do at whatever cost. The flesh will say, yeah, let's drink, let's do this, do that, or whatever it may be, according to your flesh, but there's consequences to that. There's a penalty of death that you're going to pay according, because that's a carnal mentality, a carnal mindset. You have some Christians who are people who are believers, but yet still choose to live and do according to what feels good, according to what they think. The Bible said there's a way that seems right to a man, but the way therein is death. See, what we think is right is not always right all the time. That's why if it does not match with the Word of God, if it doesn't, it's not confirming the Word of God, then don't do it. Amen. Amen. So that may have helped someone there. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it will cause you to be in a position of an enemy to God, because the carnal mind is not going to do the right thing according to God. Our carnal mind is going to do what it feels good and what it wants to do. He goes on to say, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In other words, it's not even because of the wicked the nature of it. It's not even going. It's not going to do right before God. It's not in the only in the affirmative can. Only way we can have this accomplished is by having a spiritual mindset. A spiritual mind is according to the word of God and from by the kingdom. He goes, verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You doing what we do, what we feel like doing, and the way we want to live, it's not going to please God. Because God knows why. There's a reason why God said, don't do this or don't do that, whatever the case may be. You know, when you're a child, when we had kids coming up and growing, I still using myself as an example. As I was coming up, I was younger, and I remember a lot of the kids that had kind of grew up with me, man, they could go out on, they could go hang out. They would be telling about how they used to go out. They went to this house, that person's house, and they did this and they did that, and they was there for the whole night and all kind of stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, they're living it up. Man, I got to live by these rules, man. My mom and dad got to come in with a curfew. And, you know, I wanted to do everything they was doing. And they would tell me, of course, they had to tell you how much fun they had and all this and that. They got to love. All this stuff. I'm thinking to myself, dog, man, they're living it up. But lo and behold, as the years went by, that lifestyle took a different toll where it was tearing them down, wearing them out. They begin to, then of course that's not even including their health, but then their mindset, you know, they begin to have this corrupted mindset into where they begin to do all kind of crazy stuff, and then a lot of them went to jail for some of the stuff they were doing and things. So when I begin to look at it from the standpoint of, look at what has happened. Some went to jail, some got sick, some had accidents, some had head-on collisions, some even actually ended up dead. For all these decisions that they were big enough to do because they were living the way they wanted to live according to the flesh. They were doing what they wanted to do. Well, which because I had rules I had to live by because I was seeing my parents, I couldn't just do what I wanted to do. But at the same time, it preserved me. See, the word of God does not come to take fun away out of your life. It didn't come to take you out of the, you know, it didn't come to give you, make you a slave, you know, in the sense of, oh, you know, you only could do this and you only could do that. But it's actually there to help you, to preserve you, to keep you. See, it preserves life. The word of God preserves you. So going against the natural grain according to the world, see, it would seem like it'll put you in trouble with man, but who's better to be in trouble with, man or God? See, when we look at the cost, we have to be willing to pay it. We have to be willing to deal with the situation in front, at heart, because the world is going to always try and tell us their way is going to be better. We have to remember, as children of God, as people of God, God has separated you from the world for his purpose, for his plan. He has made us to be rebels against what the world has called freedom or what the world has called life. Amen. And so when God separates us, it's for a purpose, a greater purpose, and it's not just for you. See, you notice the difference between, let me bring it down home. The difference between the kingdom of God and doing what's right, you know, in the kingdom versus the world in the world system, it's different. See, when it comes to the world is about me, 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 doing what is good for me, you know, at whatever cost. Smoking for me, drinking for me, sex for me, whatever it is I want to do is according for me, the individual. Now, when it comes to the kingdom, not only for you, but for your family, for the others who you know, living you're a living epistle. The Bible tells us that there's life, death, life and death. Choose life that you and your descendants can live. See, when it comes to sin is more like, look, what I want to do is what I want to do for me.
But the kingdom mindset is, well, not only for you, but for others to live. Let me find that scripture. Amen. Life or death. Amen. That's a very, it's an awful, you have to make a choice of. Let's see, let me see this. Choose life. Okay. That's Deuteronomy 30:19. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Now see, God is making it plain. You won't be able to say that you never had a chance to make the choice. You won't be able to say you was not informed or you had an option. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Now, if you choose right, it's going to work for you. If you choose wrong, it's going to count against you. That I have set before you life and death. He presents us with a choice. Because he presents us with a choice, now we have to make one. See, because a lot of times we want, it's easy to have someone choose for us if we want to do it. But at the same time, God wants you to willingly serve him. He wants you to willingly walk upright. He wants you to willingly worship him. He wants you to willingly praise him. He wants you to willingly give him your life. See, when you present yourself to God, he wants you to freely make a conscious decision to give yourself to him. Not that he wanted, because if he wanted a robot, he could just made a robot. He wants you to freely give yourself. Okay, he says that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. See, one lifestyle will have a life of blessings. The other lifestyle will have the results of cursings. You know, when we talk about people who have traditional curses in their family, that means that there's some generation of people who bad things generationally happens to the men in that family, generationally happens to the women, certain kind of medical issues. If you look at that person who got an issue in the medical history, well, it may not have stopped with them. It could have been a grandmother, grandfather, a mother, grandmother, or so on and so forth. Who knows how many generations down or up that has been going on, of course, now to where you're dealing with the problem. So, and sometimes to break that curse, God may allow you to get it so you can break it before you pass it on to the next generation or before it goes on any further. He says, therefore, choose life. See, he encourages you to choose the thing that's going to set you free, not bound you. This is why when we understand the God that we serve, his intentions are always good. Even though you may go through some things, even though you may be tried and tested, even proven, but it's always going to be for your good instead of evil. He said, therefore, choose life, that both you and thy seed may live. When we talk about your seed, we're talking about those who come behind you, your sons, daughter, of your offspring, and then their siblings. So you can start the traditions of blessings by obedience to God, not curses, being disobedient to God. So when we talk about the traditions of men, Jesus said, "You have made the traditions of men of none effect." He's saying is, traditions of men have made the word of God of none effect, excuse me. So you doing and being faithful to your traditions has caused the word of God not to be effective in your life. It's not making the impact that it could be making because you have not chosen to do it God's way. So when we choose to do it our way, we choose to do what feels good to our flesh, now we're going to miss out on the fullness of what God wanted to happen according to that word in your life. Many people die unfulfilled because they chose to do what was feeling good to the flesh, not according to what was right according to the word. He said that both you and your seed may live. So see, when we talk about the blessings of the Lord, when we talk about the blessings in the kingdom of God, the kingdom is always going to go beyond just you. The kingdom is always going to be there not only for you, but for those who else is in your life who's connected, for other people as well. See, God is not a selfish God. When he bless you, now let's bring it on in. When God bless you with your gifts and talents, your gift to make room for you and bring before great men, see, not only for you, but to also bless them too. See, God wants to use you as a catalyst for the blessings that happen in people's lives. But we can't get there if we're not conforming to his ways. If we're not walking in obedience, how can God make you an example? When we see Job, God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Because Job was walking upright, the blessing that was on his life was not only just for Job. He said he's an upright man, just man. See, now he had, now his lifestyle, life living, has been able to be spoken of by God, and so now that brought glory to God. And of course, the devil wanted to go and say, "Well, I bet you if you took that away, he wouldn't be so faithful." And so we got to think about that question. If God allows some things to be taken away, will we still be faithful? Will we still want to pursue God if some of your possessions are from the world, have gone away, got taken away, snatched away, lost, or whatever the case may be? So we have to keep in mind that it's up to us to live right. It's up to us to want God. It's up to us to pursue God. If anyone desires to call in, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to speak, ask a question, or make a comment. Amen. So we can't get there to that place if we conform to the world. We can't get to that place of being obedient if we're practicing disobedience every day by doing according to our flesh, what we want. Amen. So, as we go a little further, let's go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit." You and I in the flesh. See, your true you is not according to what we see in this flesh. Your true you, your true identity is spirit. Amen. He goes on to say, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelt in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." See, in order for us to really walk in the success and victory that God wants us to walk in, we need to be empowered by his Spirit. We can't, really properly do the things pertaining to God or towards God if we're not in compliance with his word. It's going to cause us to begin to do things that we don't need to do. It's going to cause us to get in trouble. Amen. Verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. See, it's dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Because of what Abraham did, and because you took a covenant, now your relationship can work even more for you. Because it's according to the promise, according to what you have decided to surrender and give. Verse 11, "But the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same spirit living within you." So when we see the power of God in action, has been given to us to make an impact in wherever we are. When we talk about the impact of God's word, it is, you know, he used 12 disciples to turn the world upside down. So just imagine how many people we have, people who are dedicated and want to truly experience God, his fullness. He wanted the true nature of God to be expressed. Well, it's going to take the start from our obedience, how we obey God and how we choose to do, how we choose to line up. All of these things make a difference on how much God can impact our lives according to his word. So, amen. He goes on to say, verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal flesh, your mortal bodies, by his spirit that dwells in you. Amen. So as we see, our life living in Christ is not in vain. As he died for us, we can now live and die for others. So back to the point there, the kingdom is not selfishness. Kingdom is selflessness. When we're talking about living according to the flesh or the kingdom, we're talking about selfishness and selflessness. The kingdom is selfless. The kingdom goes beyond itself, you know, beyond the person who's leading. So this is why when it comes to giving, Christians should live to give. Christians should be effective on giving because we're not thinking about ourselves, but we're thinking about those who are connected to you, those who are around you. All these things make a difference. Amen. Amen. Okay. As we see here, verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. We are debtors not to the flesh to live after, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Yeah. Amen. So when we talk about living after the flesh, we're not going to be led by the flesh in every decision. There's going to be sometimes God may have you make a decision. It don't really make sense at all, but it makes sense. It may, you know, it may on paper, it may look different, but in your head, God knows exactly what he's doing. Yeah, there's some favorite things that we find and see that God didn't intend for us to go through, or some things that, you know, he did intend, but it's the thing of how we go through it that we have to keep in mind, and just be faithful to that. Amen. He goes on. More verses, amen. Okay. For if you live, verse 13, for you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Amen. So as we begin to put our flesh through, as far as fasting, praying, discipline, and telling yourself no, when you're so used to saying yes. It's very important. Okay, David goes on, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. Okay, that's going to be it. There, one more. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. Amen. Abba, Father. So this is why it takes one more time, because when we understand what it takes in order for us to be successful in God, whatever the different things is, this, you know, it requires us to be focused. It requires us to reevaluate and think. Why are certain things even a part of my life? Amen. Why this person, that person? Amen. Okay. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. for which you did for new, he also did president, pedestrian, to become to the image of his son, that you might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus had to allow some people to die. And then, of course, those who die in faith and those who, far as the final resting place is different. Because we, as believers, as we live, we choose to die in some of those areas in order for us to properly live to the maximum of what we're supposed to do. Amen. Okay, so, amen, we'll stop there. But just want to encourage you, that word rebel means opposing or taking arms against a government or ruler. Now, we see here, it also means relating to rebels, disobedient, rebellious. We have some disobedient and rebellious people in the church. Because we have that, that's why some things have to be made plain and simple and clear. Sometimes the enemy is going to try you on some things that he knows is not so. But to see if we pay attention, if we're on point, if we're in the flow, he's going to try us. And this is why we have to be careful. Whatever we go forth to do, make sure that we do things in the right spirit. Make sure that we're with the right people. Make sure that our connections are good. Hey, amen. Don't allow yourself to be caught in a trapped in a situation that's not going to be good. Hey, amen. Until you have to make a bad decision in order for you to get out. Hey, amen. Don't live according to the flesh. Hey, amen. So, hey, amen. We talk about opposing or taking arms against a government to ruler. We are here to overthrow the work of Satan, of course, and then we're here to bring forth the kingdom. Okay, let's look at look at the last one. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Okay, verse 20, Luke 17:20. And when you was demanded, when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God shall come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God cometh not in observation. It's not in sight, but it was seen, so you can look at it and dwell. He said, neither shall thou say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. See, our purpose is to get this kingdom of God inside of us out into the world. It takes time, it takes development, it takes you making a decision to live for Him and not die. We're talking about giving your life as a living sacrifice. We're talking about you really understanding what's at stake. And you said, you know what? I choose to give myself. Now we're going to see the results. We're going to see change happen. We will see the greater things come forth. Amen. All right. So once again, the rebel is an opposing, one who opposing or taking arms against a government or ruler. And it also means disobedient and rebellious. So when we look at all of these words and say, hear what it says, where do you fit in? Where do I fit in? Where do we fit in? Are we rebels against the things of God and authority? Or are we rebel against those things of sin and just whatever, kiss and be? It's a choice that we have to make. We can't just run around to and fro, but we have to make an honest choice and live and be effective. So praise God. So we thank God for the word, and just pray that you've been encouraged by that. But truly, we have to trust God in our living, and not trust in one moment and then back away and turn around the next moment. God wants the kingdom. The kingdom of God needs stability from workers, people who are stable, who will work this word and not be ashamed, not be afraid to share the truth of the gospel. So that be you tonight, amen. Come forth that you need to be prayed for to receive the power of the Holy Ghost and whatever it is that you need God to do. Amen. The floor is now open. Amen. So while we are here waiting, amen, waiting for each and every one who may desire to come on and ask a question or need prayer, amen, or may even make comments, the floor is now open. Amen. Okay, well, just want to make a quick announcement, amen, that on for the next two Sunday nights, we will not be on, amen, because of New Year's Eve. So enjoy the time with your family, and we're going to be back in January. I don't have a definite date yet, but we'll be back in January, and we'll kick and do our thing. So in the meantime, be wise and stick with the Lord as He leads you in all truth in our daily activities. Remember, baby Jesus, he's growing up now. So, amen. You know, so progress with God. Amen. So, just be mindful as we observe in these days, as we observe them. Be mindful of who God is. He's wonderful, awesome. So, amen. Father, we thank you right now, Lord God. Thank you for leading us into all truth. And we thank you for those who may need salvation but may have been nervous about it. We thank you for you touching their lives right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for bringing change to them in Jesus' name. We thank you right now for moving according to your spirit, Lord God. And we thank you for these touching each and every heart. That, Lord, we've been challenged, we've been provoked to go deeper into your life, Lord. So we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for the joy. And thank you for the everlasting life. And we thank you and bless you right now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. If there's anyone who does not know Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, we give you an opportunity now to come forth, open your heart. Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Lord, I need you. I can't do without you. I need you to fill my cup. Help me to run over. Thank you for changing me. Thank you for even helping us to stand through the challenges. And we thank you, Lord God, for moving by your spirit tonight, touching each and every heart, whoever may need to learn how to escape, Lord God. But we thank you right now as we trust and lean and depend on you, Lord God, that we want to escape, that we will escape the sinful nature, and not only sinful nature, but we will choose to live according to your word. Help us to choose life, not death. And I thank you, Lord God, for helping that person to be converted and go and walk into a newness of life. So once again, for those who need to come into a right fellowship with God, you may be out of fellowship. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Thank you for bringing me back into right standing with you. I thank you. I surrender that I give my will to you. I thank you for bringing me back into right standing with you. And thank you for bringing me forward into a newness of life. So, Father, thank you for a new beginning now in Jesus' name. I believe and receive Jesus died, rose for me, and gave us power to live in Jesus' name. Amen. So, once again, we thank God for each and every one who chose to be on tonight. And thank you for your time. And thank you. We pray that you all have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And go forth into a new beginning. Amen. We will see you back here the first week after the New Year's, and we will start going from there. Lord, Lord says so. We will go forth and go and do what He has called us to do. So be encouraged tonight. May God continue to bless you all, and have a wonderful evening. And remember, let the rebels arise. It's time to rebel against sin. It's time to rebel against the ways of the world. It's time to rebel. Amen. Not conform. Amen. So we bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a good night.
and my salvation. Of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? And that's why I praise Him for His amazing grace. I take time out every day and sing, "Worthy is He." Hallelujah. About it sometime. He's worthy. He's so worthy. Every now and then, you ought to let your mind go back to just how good God meant to you.
So
can I get a witness here? Sometimes when I couldn't see my way, sometimes you've been my mother when mother was gone, and you are so
worthy.
I think about it, just one lifetime of loving you, Jesus, wouldn't be long. Good to you. I lift up my hand and I pray.